Mmm. Just breathing in that fresh Clips air.
Oh, my God. What a disaster.
I'm William the Opinion Updike.
What's up, guys? I'm Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network, just basking in the glory of the Clippers today. We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. It's Thursday.
Oh,
that
yeah.
means Thirsty Thursdays, where we talk a little bit about who and what we're thirsty for.
We'll see more of. Yeah. No edema this week, which is nice.
Yeah, yeah. We're not too worn out on anything right now, so that... Yeah. Is good stuff.
For sure.
We're going to kick things off with a little bit of a view from the bottom. Yesterday, we looked at some kind of possible play-up matchup, so feel free to check that out and go back. You know, that's evergreen content right there.
A bunch of people on Twitter were talking about it. Very divided on Clipper Nation right now as to who we want to face.
Yeah.
I seriously got like five replies for like each team. Like, I got like five for Rockets. It was crazy.
Well, maybe if we see any more movement, we'll go in depth about those a little bit more. But that's not today.
No.
We're looking at the view, the opposite today, the view yeah. from the bottom. We're looking at maybe the possibility that we would have to move up, possibly what we could see moving on in the schedule, if maybe we'll rest guys, things of that nature. And then, as I said, we'll get into our Thirsty Thursday segment. And we're going to wrap things up with the team actually put together a really nice little mini, what do you call it, a mini doc?
I call it a mini doc with supplemental reading material.
Ah, a mini doc with supplemental reading material. I like that. For our guy, Gallo.
Yeah.
We love him, you love him. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and kind of how I think it's safe to say both of our opinions have changed on this player.
Definitely.
Just throughout the season, really.
Absolutely.
So all that and more coming up right about now.
Yeah, so we're kind of just taking a look. This is kind of like, you know, what could go wrong with the upcoming schedule. We do have some tough games coming up.
For sure.
This Friday, a game that William the Opinion Updike will be at
oh,
as
yeah.
a member of the press.
OKC.
I will be celebrating my girlfriend's.
I'm not cheering for them. I just said it loudly. Yeah.
I will be celebrating my girlfriend's birthday. I don't know, some whatever dumb stuff. We go OKC, and then we go Boston and then Portland.
Yeah.
Which is
so
tough.
According to 538, they have our hardest games upcoming as Bucks, Warriors, Pacers.
Huh.
Interestingly enough.
That's weird.
Thunder. Blazers, Rockets.
Yeah, and the final five games are the Grizzlies, which I put in here as being difficult because they're a wild card.
I agree with this. They beat good teams.
I just don't know. I don't think
they're... It's so unpredictable.
I have no idea what they're going to play
it's
like.
It's so unpredictable.
We go Grizzlies, Rockets, Lakers, Warriors.
But that might not be the real Warriors. That's, I would like to know. At the end of the season...
And the Jazz, I think, are our very last game.
Yes, the Jazz is our very last game. That one, if seeding is secure, I think could also be a kind of a non-competitive.
They're chilling.
One. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that too. But I mean, these are the hardest games. That it's crazy to me that the Pacers are up there on like one of our hardest games from 538.
Yeah.
How many of these games?
I think it's just based. So their predictive model is based on the win-loss records of teams that you play.
Got it.
The Pacers still have a pretty good record.
Yeah.
Despite not having Depot in the lineup. So the Spurs and Clippers right now both have a 97% chance of making the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I say that because every Western Conference team above us has over 99% chance of making the playoffs. So we're not quite a lock yet, but we're getting there. The only true lock is Milwaukee.
There's locks, and then there's locks.
100%.
If we win on Friday, are we a lock?
If we win on Friday, it'll be pretty close. Yeah,
pretty damn close.
I mean, I would.
It's a conference game.
It's just still a little bit close, but I mean, in my eyes, it's pretty much a lock.
Yeah.
So the only other teams that are really even in the mix below us would be the Kings.
Oh man, brutal loss last night.
Yeah, who are
that was a close game.
Who have currently dropped to a 3% chance of making the playoffs.
Oh.
And then the Timberwolves still rallying in there with a 1% chance.
And we play them on the road in the middle of that road trip where we go Cleveland, New York, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Bucks.
Yes.
I think, or something like that.
Something. You have the right games. I don't know about the combination.
The Timberwolves are going to, I think, might beat us. Just strictly from like a I think they want to get like that dumb redemption. The teams who realize they maybe squandered their season.
For sure.
By being like, we could have been in the playoffs. We beat this team.
One thing that goes against them though is they do have the sixth hardest remaining schedule.
Great.
Which
was first.
And the second hardest in the Western Conference.
Oh, damn.
Out of anyone in
That's
the Western
tough.
Conference. So they still have games. where they've got to play the Raptors, the Warriors twice, the Nuggets twice, and the Sixers.
Ugh. I also, part of me wants, I really want us to win that game because I'm tired of this random, this thing that people think Derrick Rose is somehow the favorite for Sixth Man of the Year.
Oh, that's a good call. This is a good,
I hate it.
This is a good storyline.
It's insane.
It's absurd.
Lou's averaging like 20 and 4 assists off the bench.
Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous.
It's just crazy. I hope anyone gets it other than Derrick Rose also.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be proud to win MVP and Sixth Man of the Year.
I mean,
it's a hard achievement. I'm not trying to discredit that, but like,
obviously, I'm a little bit biased, but like, if a Clipper doesn't win Sixth Man of the Year, that doesn't make any sense. We have the highest scoring bench by a mile.
We have the best bench duo of all time.
Yeah.
points per game wise.
For sure.
That's my hatred I get. My newfound hatred of Minnesota comes.
Yeah, so that'd be a little bit absurd. Kings, it'd be great if they could sneak in there.
I don't think they are, though.
They have an easier schedule than us remaining.
Yeah.
And this is all according to 538.
We got that tiebreaker, though.
If you guys got something to say, bring it up with them.
We luckily have that tiebreaker.
We do have the tiebreaker over Sacramento.
We don't over San Antonio, I don't think.
It's a deadlock.
Oh, it is?
In terms of playing each other. We're 2-2 on the season.
Damn.
But they do currently have the better Western Conference record than us.
That's the second one.
Yeah. Right. So they are.
I thought it was overall record for some reason.
It's overall record, and then it would be conference record.
Yeah.
And then if you guys are in the same division, obviously that would come into play. However, they are 26-19 in the Western Conference, and we are 24-20.
So we're not too far away.
No, we're not
too
far away.
We get a win on Friday. That puts us right there.
Yeah, for sure. That definitely pops us in there. I don't know. Do I see anybody else being able to muscle their way in? You know, I had high hopes for the Kings, but at this point, I'm not really sure.
I don't think they're going to make it, which bums me out. I watched the extended highlights of their game against Boston last night.
Uh-huh.
It's such a fun team to watch.
Yeah.
Like, they never give up.
No,
they're fast. De'Aaron Fox is incredible.
Yeah.
It just sucks. They had such a good year.
Yeah, and it's a bummer because the Celtics have just kind of started clicking right now, too. So it was, like, not the best time to face them.
Yeah.
It's
crazy, too, because the Celtics were on the second night of a back-to-back. So I thought they were just going to get worse. Even though they blew out the Warriors, I still thought the number one team I wouldn't want to play the second night of a back-to-back is the Kings.
Definitely. Oh yeah,
pace wise, like.
Yeah, that's like their whole thing.
Yeah,
so that, you know, that's definitely a hard blow for them. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think there's any other team? Do you think there's any chance that one of these guys could work their way into this?
Unless this bottom of the
Western Conference.
Unless us and the Spurs just completely free fall.
Yeah,
like a true horrific collapse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's going to happen. I think the Spurs are maybe more susceptible to it than we are because they've kind of had some uneven performances recently.
They've had some uneven performances, and they somehow have a worse defense than us.
Yeah, so that's where I'm kind of like, I guess if it's going to be anyone...
In terms of rating, I would still say it looks worse, but I don't know.
Yeah, but I just don't... And that has to coincide with... So what the Kings have going for them is that they're not going to stop trying to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
They're not shutting anyone down.
And you think the Spurs will?
No, but I think they might, just that free fall thing.
I see.
I think if those two things meet, it's going to be tough. But
It'll take a little bit of a perfect storm at this point.
Truly. Great movie.
Is it?
That's an awful movie.
So what do you think about, in terms of movement? I think best case scenario, we can hold down the 7th seed.
That's best case scenario.
Yeah,
best case we get 6.
I don't know that I see us moving up to 6 because who moves down?
Thunder.
The Thunder move that they drop that far down. They're currently in the tie for third place.
How many road games do they have left? Because they're bad. They're not as good on the road.
Yeah, that's
fair. And we
play
them on Friday at Downtown LA Night with YG performing at halftime.
Oh, they have the hardest remaining schedule in the Western Conference, according to 538.
So I think maybe them, maybe the Blazers, again, another team that's not too good on the road.
Yeah. You think they're going to fall from like the 3-4 area all the way down to 7.
Yes. Maybe. Those are my candidates. Wow. I don't think that's going to happen, but if that were to happen, I would think it was maybe them.
Interesting.
The mental fragility is what gets me with the Blazers.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I think the standings are probably just going to stay the same.
I think they're going to be pretty close. I'm hoping that we can pass up the Spurs to get to that 7 spot just in terms of record. We're deadlocked right now. They would have the tiebreaker because they have the better conference record.
Today.
Today, yeah. So, yeah, I think 7, I like the idea of 6. It's just, I just don't know. I don't really honestly see the Nuggets, Rockets, Thunder, Blazers, or Jazz
dropping. They might rearrange.
They might rearrange, but I just think that all those teams are probably going to stay, yeah. I mean, basically from the Rockets on down, they're going to stay in that 3, 4, 5, 6 range.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not mad at that. Yeah, I think it's going to probably stay status quo.
But, yeah, we'll see. Obviously still rooting for the Kings. We'll see what happens.
Come on, sister. Come on, sister team.
We'll see what happens. Hopefully they could, maybe take the 8 spot away from those pesky Spurs. but we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what else happens. What do you think happens? What does our squad look like moving down the stretch? Do you think that we're going to start seeing some of these players, maybe especially high-risk players like Gallo, rested a little bit more?
I think we could see Gallo rested more. I kind of want us to rest Gallo a little more. If it's once it's locked in, I kind of want 15, 20 minutes from Gallo. Like 20 minutes max.
Maybe. Locked into playoffs or locked into the 7?
Locked into playoffs.
Okay.
Actually,
I gotta disagree.
As soon as I said that, I think locked into 7.
I think that unfortunately for our team, fortunately for the fans, I guess a little bit maybe unfortunate for some of the players, they're gonna have to be playing. I think Gallo is still gonna be playing 30 plus minutes probably up until that last game at the Jazz, just with how close everything is. Now, if we pull ahead and carve out, maybe, but that's just not really in this team's identity either. You know, we're not like a team. We don't have the luxury of being able to
chillin'.
To sit like a crucial piece and it be fine.
If it's locked in at 7, I'm totally fine with it. And I would want him to play 20 minutes maybe max.
Yeah.
Start still. Yeah. Get some shots. Stay loose. Maybe play him first and fourth quarter type thing. But yeah, I'm going to be not bummed, but I'd be scared? Anxious if he's still putting up 30-plus minutes a game.
I would be anxious, too, just because, Gallo is having a career year, which we'll talk about later. Yeah. But, a big key to that is just being able to go into the offseason not injured.
Yep.
It makes just a world of difference, and it would be a huge bummer to see him get an injury after a great season, and then once again, be stuck in recovery all through the offseason, have to play his way back into shape, risk another injury.
Yeah.
It's just a pretty bad cycle of stuff that happens. And not just to Gallo, that's just the nature of injuries.
For sure. I don't think we rest any young guys. I don't want us to.
No. So other than Gallo, is there anyone you would want us to rest?
Maybe Lou. He's taken a couple knocks this season.
Yeah.
I would say he's had the hamstring issues. Lou, and that's kind of it.
I know. That is
like,
one.
We only have two guys where I'm like, I guess I'd kind of like, I only want these two guys to rest.
That is
and
one.
Lou's a bench guy, which is great.
Yeah. It is one really nice thing of so much of our team coming off the bench, of our high level scores, and having so many young guys is always
young
great.
Me.
And then guys like Patrick Beverley, who are coming off an injury but seem to have an incredible motor,
aren't going to rest.
Seem to have bounced back.
I like that when you go 110% at all times, you just have no rest.
Yeah. That's nice. And I think that, I don't think that we're going to see any rest, really, for any of these guys, except for possibly Gallo.
Yeah. Real quick before we go to the next segment, which of these young guys do you think breaks out in terms of national recognition? Because I would say right now, not a bunch of national recognition for any of our young guys. I'm counting Trez in that, maybe. In terms of your average basketball.
You're counting Trez in this, too?
In terms of your average basketball fan.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Casual fan.
Casual fan. If you're like, oh, what do you think of Montrezl Harrell? They'd be like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah.
I think.
I think that's probably a fair assertion. If you're not a big NBA fan or a big Clippers fan, you might not know Trez.
Yeah.
So
he's
in
a
that
bench
regard,
center, if you're a regular, if you're a casual NBA fan, he's like a bench center.
Yeah.
Who's good? Who's pretty good?
Yeah. So in that regard, I mean, I think it'd be hard for someone to surpass Trez in that sort of light. You know, maybe Landry though puts together a couple of fire performances.
People love the 3-point shot now. Like, he's got a little bit of,
and people love guards.
Yep. He's got confidence.
Yeah.
When he gets going, he likes to let you know he's going.
And he has a game that, just due to him not having to dominate the ball a whole lot, he has a game that's engineered to make someone, when they're playing well, look really good.
Oh,
versus
definitely.
Like, even if Shea's having a really good game,
he's still gonna have a couple turnovers.
There might be
like
a couple
that.
Turnovers yeah. or something. And it's just it creates a different sort of pressure
for sure
when you are in that much control of the offense. So yeah. I think that in those sort of terms,
he set up the best.
He set up probably even better than Trez.
Yeah,
just in terms of, like, you know, he knows his role. And he just has such a specific skill.
Mm-hmm. And maybe Zubats. Zubats has a really good game, because any of the centers we face up against are going to be good in the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
definitely.
So if he has a good, if we end up playing the Thunder, if he has a couple good games against Steven Adams or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't think he will. He might have one, but like if he strings together a couple, like, oh damn, dude, you know, wow.
Yeah.
15-11 against Steven Adams. Like, I think that would maybe, that will help the spotlight a little bit for these young guys.
Definitely.
Not in a bad way.
So we'll talk a little bit about that in just a moment with our Thirsty Thursday segment. But first, do you have a locked on speaker? Or do you have a...
I wish I had a locked on speaker, dude.
We need to sell this immediately.
We need a locked on jukebox.
If you have a smart speaker, though, it can be a locked on speaker.
Should be.
Just at the command of your voice. Just tell that thing to play Locked On Clippers.
Just play it. Play the dang podcast.
And it'll play it for you. And then it is your own Locked On speaker. So, yeah, be sure and check that out. If you're in the car, if you have like an Alexa or a similar device, get it going. Ride the future wave, baby.
Ride the future wave, dude. So, Thirsty Thursdays, we're talking about what we want more of.
For sure. So I just want to, just off of our last conversation, I had talked about a little bit in our Lakers preview game that there was a possibility for one of these young guys who's a little bit lower in the rotation, your Sindarius Thornwells, your Tyrone Wallace's, your Jerome Robinson's. If one of them was to have a breakout game, it would definitely kind of bolster their chances of being maybe a rotation piece in the playoffs. Doc did say that he was not afraid to play any of these young guys.
Love it.
In a playoff situation, which is great. And that is a great thing to say, and I do believe that he trusts the rookies.
And they like to hear it.
Yeah, and they like to hear it. But there is a little bit of a difference.
There's some logic.
And just some sheer matchup logistics in terms of playing certain guys in certain matchups. And out of all of those guys, the only one who got minutes in that Lakers game was Tyrone Wallace. And he looked great.
Looked great.
In 6 minutes, he put up 4 points and four boards. He he handled the ball well. He looked good defensively.
He hit
a three. He's a guy who's been inconsistent. I will say that he's had his ups and downs, but the effort is always there. He's got a good size, I feel like, both for guarding, opposing guards and even some small forwards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm thirsty from all of these young guys that I just mentioned at the top of this to see some more playing time. But I'm especially, I think, I'm salivating right now.
Oh, wow.
At the idea of seeing some more, seeing some more Taiwan minutes, man. I think that he's narrowing in a little bit more on what he can do. I think that he's realizing his role a little bit.
He's understanding more what they're asking of him.
Yes, I think is what is helping him to be more effective in these shorter stretches.
For sure.
And I think that is the kind of thing that sets you out to an organization as an asset going into those big games.
Especially for a guy like Doc. Doc wants you to know your job.
100%.
Doc wants you to know your job.
100%.
I agree with you on pretty much all points with Ty Wall. He just kind of has had some inconsistency in terms of when he gets played.
Yeah.
Which might be his fault in practice. I don't know. Wish we could go to practices. But I think he probably has the best chance. I think Sindarius is a dark horse for the like defensive stopper wild card.
I have to agree.
Of just like, oh damn, they're throwing Sind in, and he's going to try and lock someone down.
Yeah,
he's all he's going
to
do.
He's another one of those guys where like you don't want to really have to rely on his offense necessarily, but defensively he can get in there and he can get stops and he can bug somebody.
Like if we need it, Patrick Beverley and Sindarius on the floor at the same time is like a. Okay, try and score on this lineup.
Yeah.
That's a lineup where you're kind of planting your flag of like, this is what we're doing right now.
Definitely.
We're coming at you so hard and so annoying. Sin's big.
Yeah.
Like, Beverly plays big, as we all know.
He's big, and he, I mean, like, I had a little interview with him, and he just said that he hates getting scored on.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. He's like, no matter what the score is of the game, it's irrelevant. He hates getting scored on. Mm-hmm. He will guard somebody. Until the end of the possession, until like it's just not happening.
And I think on the outside end, I don't think we see Jerome.
The way things are looking right now,
I just don't see it.
I don't really see it either.
I don't think he's in a rhythm to be out there, which I'm fine with. He's
getting
his reps for Agua Caliente. Oh, speaking of which, the other night Agua Caliente started four of their five was Jerome, Sind, Motley, and who was the other fourth?
Delgado?
And Delgado. Pretty damn good G League lineup, I would say.
Yeah.
They somehow lost that game. But, like, it's nice to see Jerome getting those minutes. I just think they're going to keep him down there to keep getting those reps in. He's got a whole year to figure out.
I think
out.
So, too. And we've talked about
this. He's also kind of our first-round pick. Sorry to cut you off. He's kind of our first-round pick this year.
I agree.
You know, we're not getting the pick.
Yeah.
So, he's kind of like the project.
Definitely.
I think they went into the draft last year wanting to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that we're not having a pick next year.
Mm-hmm.
I think they knew that. They kind of planned to not have a pick this year. This is all speculation, by the way. So they were fine with taking maybe a more project player like Jerome.
I think that's a really great hypothesis. I would conclude with that. And I guess the other thing would just be, you know, we've talked about this before, but there's only so many young guys you can develop at a time.
Yeah, and you don't want to
unless you're on
a
unless you're on a tanking team, and then you run into other situations where like you could be installing a losing culture.
Mm-hmm. Well, to be fair, up until 3 days ago, every single national pundit thought the Clippers were tanking. So,
well, they're not listening to Locked On Clippers.
Damn right they're not.
So that's why they're in the dark.
I would say I'm thirsty for a 7-game first-round series.
Ooh.
I want that to happen.
I'm thirsty for that. That's a tasty one.
I want that. I want win or lose. I mean, obviously, it wouldn't be great, but, like, I want to see us ruin a higher seed's plans.
That'd be great.
Be it through winning the series or for making them. We're going to make whatever team we play. Even if we get swept, it's going to be a hard sweep.
Yeah,
It's not going to be an easy sweep.
I agree. It's not going to be four blowouts.
No.
Hopefully.
Or it might be, but right at the end when it's just like everyone's like, I think we're a team of dogs.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to get blown out.
I don't
four
see,
games in a row.
I mean, obviously the Warriors, if they're functioning at a high clip, but I just don't really see teams being able to blow us out four times in a row.
No, I don't either. Unless we fall to the eighth seed and have to play the Warriors.
Even still, though.
Yeah,
I don't think it would be back to back blowouts.
And the home support, I'm thirsty for some good home support.
Oh, that's a great one. Yeah, I'd love to see.
We really need that.
Yeah, I'd love to see some strong support.
There was a bunch of cheers for the Knicks when they would score at the Knicks game, which bummed me out. Like,
oh yeah, that was bizarre.
That was weird. Maybe the
they have a young core.
Weird.
I guess people are excited about. I don't know.
Not in LA. They shouldn't be.
Yeah.
We're gonna try and get some press passes for those games. So hopefully we see some good. But yeah, I just want some good home support.
Definitely.
Coming up after this, we're going to talk about that fantastic Gallo article and video. So if you haven't seen it yet, there's a great article on NBA.com
mm-hmm.
with some supplemental audiovisual material. I'm just talking like a substitute teacher now. Just about Gallo and his kind of comeback from injury.
Yeah.
And Gallo, Will and I both talked about this. Our opinion about keeping him has changed.
Yeah, so I've done a complete 180. This summer... I guess leading up to the World game, I was pretty heavily on the train that was not a great acquisition.
Yeah, we were both. I mean, most people was like, he was hurt so much. He tore his glute. Can't imagine how much that hurts.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like it was going to be kind of the Gallo curse, which is him always getting hurt. No fault of his own.
Yeah.
Just some players get hurt.
The body, man, it'll betray you.
He's proven us wrong this year.
Yeah.
It's been fantastic.
His butt fell off. He put it back on.
He put that butt back on.
And now he's doing great. So, yeah, you know, we keep there's a lot of talk, obviously, about free agency. Everybody's very excited. But I feel like the narrative has really kind of revolved around what two max guys we're going to get. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, if two max guys are coming, that means Gallo's out.
Yeah.
And
which I don't want anymore.
I just, looking at the people that are available, you and I talked about this a little bit earlier today, but looking at the people that are available, sure, there's a ton of top tier guys. But, like, think about the guys who actually are going to end up leaving. So, you know, that narrows down the amount of max guys available there. And then tell me how many of them, like, the positions that we need the most,
yeah,
in my eyes, are someone at the forward,
mm-hmm,
maybe a shooting guard.
Maybe,
an extra,
yeah,
shooting guard or, like, a swing shooting guard forward,
yeah,
and a center. I would say Gallo is really solid at the power forward position.
Absolutely.
Ideally, we get a wing who can help cover him on defense, even though his effort has been a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what max guy you're really getting in free agency, mind you. Not like I'm not talking trades,
yeah,
or anything. In free agency, I'm not really sure what guy is out there this summer that elevates beyond Gallo plus one other max guy. You know what I mean?
Definitely. And it's also like, I mean, theoretically, if KD and Kawhi leave, which we have no idea what either of those two guys are
doing. We have no idea what either of those players are
doing.
They
kind of play the same position.
They would not fit together.
That's what I mean. It's like the Boston issue with, like, Jaylen Brown, Tatum, and Hayward. It's like, so they're all the same position.
Yeah.
Like,
and, like, they're the mold of a player that you want to have.
Definitely.
For sure.
I want one of those guys.
Exactly. Two, great.
Two would be tight, but I mean, with Gallo, he wouldn't have as big of a burden.
Yeah.
Theoretically, he wouldn't have to put as much, you know, he would still be playing hard, but he wouldn't have as much demand on him offensively.
Yeah.
That I think he would just, he's the 1B.
Definitely.
In this situation.
Definitely.
Which is great. He's,
yeah,
been like our best player maybe this year.
Yeah.
And
I think that, can he stay healthy? You know, he might be poised to have an even better season next year.
Yeah.
If he's not having to, you know, fight roles. Because like Tobias and him were great. They could combine for some good games. But there's a bit of an overlap. They're two natural power forwards,
yeah,
that were kind of, you know, stepping, like one would have to be playing out of position.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, read the article. There's some fantastic tidbits from it. Let us know if you guys want to keep Gallo as well.
Yeah, let us know what you guys think. Who do you think in free agency this summer we can get that's better, that would be worth giving up Gallo, to sign two maxes?
Real quick, we're going to talk about one tidbit from this Gallo article. It was great. He's talking about his competitive nature. He says, I'm not just talking about basketball. I crave competition no matter what I'm doing. It drives me. My second best sport is ping pong, and we have a table in the lobby of our facility. I'm the best in the building. Lawrence Frank, the team president, is second. If you're playing Lawrence Frank, are you letting him win or are you going all out?
Oh, all out.
If he's got his AirPods in or whatever, I'm going all out.
I think you're always going all out, man.
Yeah. I might challenge, next time we have press, I might challenge Gallo to a ping pong game.
All right.
I'm not going to do that. I would think I would be removed from the facility.
You would A, be removed from the facility, and B, he would embarrass you.
I don't think so. I'm really good at ping pong.
I've never seen it.
He said Lawrence Frank is a lefty, which makes it hard.
Ooh.
You know who's left-handed.
Ho, ho, ho.
You know who's got two thumbs, one of them his dominant left thumb. This guy. great article. He talks about how when he was a young boy, he would cry. His parents would just give him a basketball.
Yeah.
Questionable parenting, but it worked out, so I think that's good.
I don't know if it's questionable. It seems fine.
And then the most storybook thing from this whole article was in the video, they're talking about how five-year-old Gallo would come and shoot at the end of his father's games,
yeah,
for Olympiamiano, and people in the crowd would stay and watch. And it just made me be like, man, Italy is like a straight-up storybook.
Yeah.
Like, that's like a Disney movie, like a five-year-old Gallo in front of Olympia Milano.
There's a lot of great footage in the
video.
Accompanying video.
And there's a beautiful family portrait.
There is.
That I'm going to frame and put on my desk.
So that's definitely worth a watch. Check that out.
Yeah.
Over on YouTube. Check the article out on NBA.com. Let us know what you think. Like, I love Gallo. And if he can stay healthy, I want to keep him.
He doesn't watch basketball, which is so tight.
He's too busy.
Too busy living life. Tomorrow, there's going to be a solo William the Opinion episode.
Hey.
I will be gallivanting around downtown.
Yeah.
Going so to the Korean Spa. Very excited about it.
I'll have the regular Friday segments for you guys tomorrow. That'll be the Pacific Division Power Rankings. A little Love, Marry, Kill action.
Oh, yeah.
And I will be previewing the game against the Thunder.
Which so, you get to go to.
Yeah, I'll
fantastic.
Be there.
Fantastic. Again, we're coming at you guys Monday through Friday. This is Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Check out Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram for all of the feeds aggregated into one. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for tuning in.